Oh, God. Oh, no. I woke up before the alarm, didn't I? Damn it. Oh, man, I don't want to open my eyes. I do not want to open my eyes. Because I know if I look over there, I bet that god dang alarm's about to ring, isn't it? It is. I know. Don't open your eyes. Just go back to bed. Go back to sleep. No. Oh, my God. All the problems of the world are starting to creep into my head. No. I don't want to think about that. No. There was no election. There was nothing. No, don't want to think about that. No. Not going to do it. No. Go to sleep. I need to go to... Oh, there's the alarm. Hello again, this is Mario the Artist and Rogue, and this is Radio 74. Yeah, that's exactly what I go through every single day, and I can't help it. So, you know, it's true. Why is it that when it's time for bed, you're never sleepy, and every single thing that has gone through your head just starts to replay itself and just doesn't let you get to sleep? I mean, sometimes I feel like I want to stay awake. That the fatigue that I'm feeling, it's just a thing. I can make it go away. I can fight past this. But here's the truth. As adults, unfortunately, we need like 7 to 9 hours of sleep. Man, when I was a kid, I fought that. I didn't want that. Not at all. None. I didn't want any of it. Then the truth is, you know, some people can get by with like 6 hours. Some people need 10, you know, a day. That's cool. But, you know, a lot of that, it has to do with what we do during our waking hours and probably even what kind of physical shape we're in. Now, I'm going to come from this as a creative person. And as creative people, especially the ones that are like either in business for ourselves or we've got those high-paying power jobs, whatever those might be, that require us to have a lot more, you know, investment in the days that we're working. I'm talking like anywhere, a 40-hour work week would be basically a vacation for you at that point because those are the kinds of people... And especially the entrepreneurs and the individuals that are out there doing this, we're the ones out there trying to do as much as we possibly can, and sleep really becomes a premium for us. And the problem is that we can get drawn into this habit of long, late nights, but in doing that, oh my God, the long consequences that can begin to happen to us. Man, let me just wax poetic a little bit about this. The first thing that happens is memory problems. Yeah. And the first thing that happens is memory problems. Like, example, you forget things like you start to overwrite files. Have you ever just been sitting there and maybe working on like a little bit of video or something in Photoshop or maybe you, I don't know, any number of things. And you assume you did it, but you just didn't. And that transpires in a whole bunch of other stuff too. Like here's a good example. One time, you know, I forgot what client I had called back and ended up calling a different client right back, like an idiot, and ended up having to feign this very, oh God, the cringe. And I was sitting there on the phone trying to talk to them, making up an excuse essentially as to why my stupid ass called them right back. It was like only about a 5-minute window, and it wasn't the person I had intended to call. Another good thing. That happens, not good. Another bad thing that happens is you think you answered an important email. Now, this is something that I'm extremely OCD about. I do attempt to get back to every single message I can, you know, and at this point, I end up with a lot more of them on a daily basis than I'm usually able to get to, but they're still all very important to me, and they're still something that I like to try and get taken care of, because if not, they just fall by the wayside, and they just sit there and kind of rot like the cheese in the back of my fridge. The other kind of thing that can happen is forgetting about sending out an invoice. I mean, good God, that's like the apex of terrible things that could happen with a memory problem. Because you're not going to get paid then. And you cannot rely on your client necessarily to be the ones that are like, I really want to send this guy some money. That just doesn't happen, okay? Now, another thing that can happen is depression. And I'm not even going to make a joke about this. I mean, I've gone through that. I've known a lot of people, especially in the creative community, that go through the depression. You know, the depression. They go through depression. Probably the biggest one that I've seen happen, the most frequently anyway, is it manifests in self-doubt. But it can easily, you know, spin out into like loathing, completely loathing your creative capacity or even yourself. This is something I've seen happen over and over again. I go through it. I swear to God, I probably go through this on a weekly basis. Because a really good example of it was the other day I was trying to work in my sketchbook. And after a few days of fairly successful sketches and concepts and things coming out, I don't know if my entire hand and that part of my brain just completely forgot how the hell a pencil worked, or I just had no good ideas. But there are now 16 or 17 pages in my sketchbook that I will probably burn at some point in time. But I leave them in there for the sheer factor of being able to go back and look at them and be humble, because they're terrible. I'm talking terrible. I'm talking there. You probably could have gotten better sketches from just dipping random sticks of wood into ink and flinging them at a piece of paper, and you probably would have ended up with something better there. Now, another thing that can happen to you, and has happened to me, is a weakening of your immune system. And what I mean is, you're going to get sick more often. I mean, this happens to people all the time around convention and art show season time. It's called con crud. Or crud con? No, not crud con. No, it's not that. It's con crud. And what that is like when you go and you're shaking hands. You ever wonder, like, when I met Brent Spiner, and I think I've talked about this before, he like did a little fist bump, and I was kind of like, oh my God, I really want to shake Commander Data's hand. But he was like, I don't want what you have. And I don't think he was assuming that. He did that with everybody. He was like, fisty bump, fisty bump, fisty bump. And I understand why, because he didn't end up sick, as far as I know. I did. And that was just from talking to people and being around just people that were in Artist Alley and all this other sort of thing. And it happens. And oh my God, if you're not up on your stuff, if you're not eating well, exercising, and just making sure that your immune system is like at the top, being able to take out the T virus at this point, you're going to get sick. And you know, the crazy thing is, even in my younger days, back when I was in college, that still happened to me. I still got taken down by the common cold consistently. It was just as bad as, like, I might as well have just continually walked right through a kindergarten every single day that on my way to college, because anyone that's ever been around kindergartners or small children in general know that they are essentially a petri dish of viruses. They really are. It's not their fault. They're all adorable, but they are always sick. That's just me. The other thing I've heard, and I actually asked my doctor about this, not because it was anything that I was going through, but evidently there's something of an increase in perception of pain. And I thought that was odd. I saw that in a couple of different places, you know, everywhere from like WebMD to like some other places that spoke about it. And I, you know, I've never actually had this happen, at least not that I'm aware of. Now, maybe they're talking about, because I used to suffer from horrible migraines. I'd be working on a bit of artwork and maybe have a creative block, or I'd just get really tired. And it, maybe it did seem like those headaches were just that much more intense. But let's be honest, by the time you're seeing dots or little flashes of light, you're already on the train to Painesville. I don't know how much more painful pain could be at that point. I mean, I say that now because I don't have a headache right now. I'm not swallowing a bottle of like Excedrin, but you know, to prevent that kind of pain. But I can imagine that would be something there. And I know that like my grandmother used to suffer from some really bad ones whenever stress would hit her. And maybe that, because she was a farmhand. She worked. She was a sharecropper. Maybe the long days and the fatigue and everything else like that did make them much more painful. But she was also an incredibly strong woman, and literally nothing stopped her. Like, I, well into her 80s, I would see her continually doing things that would make me drop after half an hour of farm work. And I sometimes think it just comes down to the individual when it comes to perception of pain. Now, one of the things that does incur, and nobody likes to incur debt, but one of the things you will incur is sleep debt. You see, the amount of sleep that we need, it increases. Because, you know, when you've been depriving yourself in those days, getting too little sleep creates exactly that. It creates a sleep debt. And it's just like being overdrawn at the bank. And eventually your body will, it's going to demand, hey, buddy, you need to pay me back. That's what's happening. And I don't care what anyone says. Everybody here is like, oh, I'm so gonna catch up on my sleep on Saturday. No, you're not. You're going to sleep in. You're going to feel terrible. And you might get some stuff done. You might feel better for a little while. But as the years go by, things just get weirder and harder to adjust to. Now, the main reason I'm actually talking about this is because one of my biggest influences is the muse that I use on almost a daily basis is dreams. And I know when I've actually gotten good sleep because I dream. I dream vividly, lucidly, just incredibly so. And a lot of those things end up ending as illustrations or inspirations for poems or storylines or things like that. And the crazy thing is, like the last one I had, I don't often remember them, and I make it a point now to write down almost, I'd say a good 80 or 90% of them, something like that, because I'd like to try and keep, you know, a dream diary sort of thing going. And man, saying that out loud just, oh, that just kind of emasculates me a little bit right there. But that, you know, I don't care because I've managed to make some pretty cool stuff because of dreams. Anyway, the point is, the last dream I had was one where I was actually in a weird, surreal version of Warrensburg. And I think it was in the 70s. Long story made short, I was in a place there. If you ever go to Warrensburg, this little indoor flea market, it's like two stories of indoor flea markets. And on the second floor, there's this place where they used to sell a lot of video games. I think they still do, like old vintage video games. But up there, I ran across Jimi Hendrix, and he's always been a big hero of mine for guitar playing and that sort of thing. But he was up there, and he was selling amps and guitars to people. And I was attempting to buy a guitar off of him, but I also remember that I had to go, and there was like some weirdly designed little people that were working there. They were only like 3 feet tall, and they were all carved from wood. They all looked like fantasy dwarves, but that was the staff that was actually working there. Now, let me tell you, if I'm tired, those aren't necessarily the things I'm seeing, you know, in my head if I'm sleeping. And the crazy part is, and I've talked to other artists about this, sometimes you stay up so damn late that you start seeing like crazy little things. Like I've actually stayed up late enough that I swear to God, like I'll look over and see something sitting behind my computer. Like, and it's always like in the shape of like a weird solid black shadowy raccoon. I see them at night in the house. I see them like just, you know, there's that part of me that's like, oh, I'm seeing things, you know, or like they're supernatural or what. No, I'm just damn sleepy at that point. And you know, the smartest thing would be for me to go to bed, because I've worked those long-term jobs. I've gone through those things where, you know, you end up working so long. And the danger is that if you have jobs that are the kind that really end up incurring a large amount of, like, you know, sleep debt for you, the danger is driving. I've had some close calls, and I will never forget one to end this really, you know, I'll tell you guys a story and then end the podcast. So we're trying to keep it down at a low running time. I was still living in Warrensburg, and it was a good drive into Kansas City, you know, and anybody in this area knows that it was about probably a good hour and a half drive to get down to the heart of Kansas City. And not really the heart, but it was off this one street called Front Street. And I used to work at this one gaming company where they used original illustrations. And I think it's not long now defunct, but it used to be called Gerodo. And I was driving, and at some point in time, I'll never forget this, I had a little green Nissan truck at the time, little four-cylinder, but I had fallen asleep, and my foot went down on the pedal, and I was just zooming along. I don't know what it was that woke me up. I have no idea. To be completely honest, there was absolutely no reason. I wasn't even listening to the radio, but it was to that point of fatigue, because it was on the way to work. I was like dog ass tired, and I was on the way to work. And as I'm heading that way, there's nothing else on the highway at that point in time. It was a real early, I think it was like a Thursday morning or something. I fell asleep at the wheel. Okay. Now, unfortunately, that's happened to me more than once, but this was the first time it ever happened, and it sure as hell scared the hell out of me. When I woke up, and thank goodness I still had the wherewithal of my mind, that I quickly made a turn into the next lane. Like, it's two lanes on that highway going in. I woke up to hear the engine whining as I look up, and the RPMs are buried, and I'm going about 80 to 89 miles an hour, quickly coming up on the back end of a gravel truck that had pulled out onto the highway and was beginning to pick up speed, but clearly wasn't moving anything past maybe 15, 20 miles an hour as it was speeding up. I don't think he saw me, or he assumed I was going to switch lanes. I don't know what was happening. I'm pretty damn well sure he wasn't too concerned with my tiny little truck meeting the back end of his truck. I don't really know. I know that it happened so quickly. I zoomed over, but it was one of those surreal moments where it slows down. I remember looking over and actually seeing that there wasn't much more than like 2 to 3 inches from the edge, right where my headlight was, and the back steel frame of the bumper on that truck. And I just zoomed by. It took me a second. I got my foot off the gas and I began to hyperventilate, and I pulled over and I almost threw up. I realized right at that point, as he drives by, he didn't stop, didn't anything. I don't even think he knew what happened. And I stopped, and I'm sitting there on the side of the road just breathing, and I threw up. I was so freaked out, I threw up on the side of the road. And I realized, oh my God, I almost cashed it in. So, to lighten that bit of craziness, that's why I decided to pick this one. I'm hoping that I've got a lot of friends right now that are really throwing themselves into things 100%. And I've got some definite time in that as well too, where, you know, the harder I have to work a lot harder to make some things work this next year, as far, you know, professionally with my comic effort and some stuff like that. But please try and remember, friends, you know, any of you listening to this, thank you so much. And I, you know, for listening, but mainly if you take anything from this, try and get rest, try and take care of yourself. I mean, and that's something I'm doing for myself, because I'd sure as heck like to be around a lot longer, to be able to do a lot more things, you know, and stuff like that. And we really do need rest. You know, never mind the fact you can be, it turns you into a cranky person. It does all kinds of bad things, but ultimately it can lead to some really terrible stuff in the long run. So until next time, I'm Mario the Artisan Rogue. Thank you so much for listening to Radio 74, and I'll see you next time.